Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the lady with the sheep. Deirdre Higgins.
Hello. How are you?
Deirdre is a soprano with the Irish National Opera by day, and she strolls the family farm in her wellies with her pet sheep Rory on other days. How are you doing, Deirdre?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. So, congratulations on a leading role.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Is that a given, or do some people go through their whole career and not get a leading role?
Absolutely not a given. No.
Not a given, right.
No, it's... look, there are different ways you can take the career. Some people don't go for leading roles and they're happy to do that. And that's a very honourable job in and of itself. Personally, I would prefer to pursue the solo leading role avenue. But yeah, you can work very hard and you can try your best. And sometimes it still doesn't happen. It's a tough industry to have success in. But you just have to keep working and hope that
and
it works
out. I always, when I imagine the lives of opera singers, you know, exotic and aloof up there, you know, and you don't imagine that an opera singer would come from a farm in Offaly and have a pet sheep called Rory. You just, that's not, you know, it's not the picture, is it?
No, not really. But do you know what? We say this at home sometimes, and I think in ways it's actually great for me, because the opera life, the singing life, the freelance life can be very high energy, can be quite stressful. There's, you know, so much going on. There's a lot of personalities, great personalities, but big personalities. And, you know, it could be easy to maybe get a bit big for your boots.
I see.
That kind of thing.
Lose
as well.
The run of yourself.
Exactly.
She's losing the run of herself.
No, luckily she's got notions.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's great that, you know, we kind of laugh. I can be on stage one night and performing for, you know, in the Bord Gáis or in the Gaiety or in the National Concert Hall. But then, you know, the next day I am out on the farm, or I think there over the summer I had been off doing some training in Italy, and that night I got back and I was still like in my kind of summer clothes from the airport, and I went to put in the hens and a hen was missing, so I was out with a torch in the middle of the night after having spent a beautiful week in Tuscany.
And would you ever sing to the animals? Be honest now. I think your reaction is a yes. I think your reaction is a yes.
Sometimes a shed has good acoustics.
Oh yeah.
So I might have done it on a couple of occasions.
Yes, I can see that. So you sort of just go, and then, oh, that's nice. That's
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, this is good. Record this.
You know that mad thing about buildings where you can, if you stand in a certain spot, it feels like it's all around you.
Yeah, yeah. That can be a tough thing to do. You kind of try to do that sometimes when you're on stage. You try find a point, like a lot of the times if you kind of hit your voice into like the corner of a space, that'll kind of help you a little bit. It's mad the differences though, like, you know, what seems like such a small distance, the difference it can actually make for how your voice will travel in the room.
And, is it different in different productions, or is it, like, would you be mic'd? Are you mic'd? No,
no.
Never.
No, I think that there can be some controversy over, I think sometimes in the Met in New York, I think they do sometimes, and there's controversy over that. But no, traditionally opera wouldn't be mic'd at all.
Of course, when opera was invented, there were no microphones, no PA systems. So they're staying true to their roots.
Yeah, and it's all part of the training as well. You know, you're trained to use your body in such a way that you can project. It's all science, really, actually. There's different techniques where you're trying to find squealo, and it's not necessarily actually about volume, but it's about hitting frequencies that will cut across an orchestra.
Right.
So it's not just about going full whack singing the whole time. It's about the specific, I'm actually even nearly moving my body here trying to get into the space. So you're trying to hit certain frequencies.
Right.
And that's actually the safest way to do it as well, because if you're just trying to get volume, 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 you're going to tire out your voice.
And probably do damage as well.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. If you do it consistently enough. Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us about Rory. How did this relationship happen?
So Rory came about, it was the infamous year of COVID. So it was 2020, and we always do our lambing in springtime. So it was around March, April time. And I suppose I went from being, I actually wasn't a singer. I was a singer, but not a singer at the time. I was a music teacher. So I went from being very, very busy and having lots to do to kind of, like everyone, having nothing really to do. So I'd always done bits on the farm, helping out here and there. But that year, I think especially because we had great weather, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, no, we were just talking about it the other day. Yeah, like the May was just beautiful.
It was unreal. Yeah. It was brilliant. So I just kind of spent all my time out helping with the animals. And Rory was one of four. And the thing is, if you have quads, the mother doesn't always have enough milk to feed the four. So we had to bottle feed. So Rory, I don't know. And that's, he got his name because he would roar when I'd leave the shed. So me and my soft heart, I kind of would keep kind of staying in with him longer than probably necessary. And just, like, it sounds so silly, but like literally just like playing with them out in the field, and
no,
they climb
silly.
All up on top of you. And especially when they're lambs, they are very playful. Like, they love to jump up.
They gamble.
Mm. And then they get older and they're a bit slower and lethargic, I suppose.
And then the normal run of events would be that
we'd say
mint sauce. Let's just say mint sauce.
Yes.
And what happened at that juncture then?
So I had developed two. Once you name a sheep, it's very hard to go back. We shouldn't. We've kind of put a rule in the house now at this stage. We can't
name too many more. You have a list of things. Don't name the sheep.
Because
singing in the barn.
Because it doesn't end well. So he had a name and just was very attached to him. And I just wouldn't let my dad let him go. And big softy, him as well. So he said, look, what can I do? They won't let me get rid of him. So, and it was funny, like we'd have people come out to do the shearing and that kind of thing. And we'd have to, you know, let them know, by the way, Rory, just be careful where you're shearing, because he's not a yo. And they couldn't get their head around why on earth is he still here.
You'll have to explain that.
The anatomy.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So
yes.
You don't want to shear anything that shouldn't be shorn.
Right. Okay. I think I understand.
Sorry. I don't want to be too graphic.
No. I think I understand. Sorry. I'm not an expert on the naming of sheep.
They kind of couldn't get their head around why on earth he's still around there.
And everything was still there.
He's essentially of no financial, you know, and, you know, in farming, I suppose it is a business, you know, you're thinking of making money and he just costs money, but that's how it is.
Ah, but it's not all about money.
No, exactly.
He fills a void in your life. He's sort of your assistant's sheep. Now, I doubt that Aer Lingus or Ryanair are going to allow you to bring it on a flight with you.
Somehow I wouldn't think so. I'd say, you never know. If the singing goes well, maybe I'll be able to pull some strings.
So back to the singing. Because opera has had a good year so far, because JJ, who won the Eurovision for Austria, he sings with the Vienna opera.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen his performance, but it's spectacular. And he's the real deal when it comes to opera. He's a trained opera singer.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, it's great to see, you know, opera being brought to new audiences, and, you know, hopefully seeing it on something that is more mainstream might encourage people to, you know, because I think there can be this perception of opera that it's very highbrow and it's for maybe the more elite. But I think that that's really not actually the case.
Because back in the day, it was popular entertainment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That was your kind of standard, I suppose.
Musical?
Concert. You know, but it's, I think people think it's maybe not the most accessible thing. Yeah. Whereas, you know, my family is not, we're not an opera
I think
people.
We've established that.
But you know, my family, they come see a lot of the shows that I'm in. They were at our show last night, and another one of my sisters was at it the other on our opening night for Le Lazare de More with Irish National Opera in the Gaiety.
Gaiety Theatre. Yes.
Tomorrow night.
You can say that again there, go on.
So we have two more shows in the Gaiety, one tomorrow night and the last one is on Saturday the 31st, and then we have one show in Wexford, which is on the 4th of June, and one in Cork, which is on the 7th of June.
Great. And you're out there bringing opera to the masses.
Yeah.
And representing Ireland at the Eurovision next year.
We'll
with
see,
Rory
we'll
the Sheep.
See.
There you go, we have it. What an act. What an act.
We'll see, we'll see. Right.
Deirdre Higgins, thanks so much.
Thank you for coming in.
And good luck with everything.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.